All right, good morning. Welcome to Reality Church. How you guys doing today? Been all right? Yeah, so we beat the ice storm. How many 4:30 service people are here because we canceled the 4:30 service? Where are you people? Come on, let me hear you. There you go. Oh, so there were actually some at the 9 o'clock. I did not expect 4:30 people to be at the 9 o'clock, but they were some there. So welcome. My name is Lance Birch. I'm one of the pastors here. We're doing a series, a really short series, a mini series. 2 weeks, one more is what we're calling it. And this is more than a series. We're actually doing something that we're hoping is going to be the theme for the entire year, which is all of us embracing the fact that it's up to us. We've got people in our sphere of influence. There are people that are close to us but far from God, and we can invest in them. We talked about that last week. We can invest in them and get to know them and listen to them because a lot of them, think about, spiritual things. Sometimes life happens to them, and they have some questions, and so it's a really good opportunity. Just like they might have some questions, during the sermon today, at any time, in fact, you can start texting in a question right now before I say anything. You can text Reality Church to 22233, and if you do that, or 22333, we actually had someone go 22233 and said, why didn't you answer my question? And so it's 22333 at any point during the sermon, text a question in, and then at the end, we're going to be answering those questions. Also today, we're going to be baptizing. We didn't have anybody scheduled to be baptized today, and in the first service, people who, heard the gospel shared so clearly by Angie Wayman. She just did a fantastic job sharing the gospel, and believed and, got baptized that day. We baptized two during the 9 o'clock service, and we didn't have any schedule today. Woo! We do celebrate that here. So maybe this is your day, We have everything you need. This is an excuse-free Sunday. We've got a change of clothes, shorts, T-shirt, everything that you need to be baptized. There'll be someone out back during the last song, so you can get all situated, and this church wants to celebrate with you, so I highly encourage you during this sermon to say, God, is it me? Is this my day to follow you in baptism? Because we would love, we got two, but we would love to have one more. Is that what I did? All right, so this idea of one more, it affects everything we do as a church. It affects all the choices that we make. It affects the choices that we make on Sunday. For those of you who don't know, we consider this, we're called by God to be an entry-level church. And what we mean when we say that is not church for dummies, but I promise you, if you bring someone who doesn't know anything about God, hopefully we will give them an opportunity, and I will speak in a way that will be clear. And even if I don't, we've got this Q&A at the end, and they can ask their questions, they can text them in. But for instance, when you're here at church with me, I probably will never say, in his epistle to the Corinthians. I will never say that because, first of all, epistle sounds like a curse word, and I just don't say that. I was so epistled. I've never been so epistled in my life. That's not the reason I say it. Don't say it, though. I usually would say, there was a guy named Paul. He was a church planter. He would go around and he would start churches and communities. And after he left those communities, he would often write a letter to say, how are you guys doing? Or checking up or even challenging them. One of the letters that he wrote was to a church in Corinth. And this was the letter. So we do that sort of stuff. It affects the choices. This whole concept of one more affects the choices that we make. Even the vocabulary that we use so that we knock down any barrier between someone and Jesus. We said this last week, we want to erect as many barriers as we can between them and hell and knock down as many barriers as we can between them and Jesus. So, because Jesus said, look, go out there, in Matthew 28, he says, go out there and make disciples. Take people who are far from me, who don't really know about me, maybe don't even care about me, and invest in their lives. And then invite them to know me. Invite them to come into a relationship with me. And we talked about investing in those people because they matter to God. And people who matter to God must matter to us. They've got to matter to us because they matter to God. Now, we do this intuitively when we find something that we really love and we tell somebody else about it. We do that all the time in life. We said that last week. We find a restaurant, find a movie. But I found something recently. I have trouble falling asleep. Okay, I'll admit it. I have trouble falling asleep. My mind starts going about a million miles a minute when I go to sleep. And it's not about things that I didn't do that day. I could care less. You know, I didn't take the garbage out. Oh, that doesn't keep me up at night. I didn't turn the iron off. I didn't turn the iron on. So I don't know. But I do think about things in the future that I want to do, you know, all kinds of things. So my mind just starts going. And plus, the pillow becomes my enemy at night. I just think, this thing is lumpy, or it's too soft, or it's too... And Amy, for Christmas, got me just a little piece of heaven. She got me my pillow. Now, this is not an infomercial. Yeah, some people are going, yeah! We're going to clap here, and then I'm going to come out and say, how much would you be willing to pay? She got me this my pillow, and I put my head on it at night, and it's like I'm placing my head in the palms of angels. It just, yes. And I immediately go to sleep and I don't wake up, and it's just amazing. And I want, now I'm talking about it everywhere I go. Like I'm sitting next to somebody on the bus, like, have you tried my pillow? Which is weird. That's a weird sentence to say, because my pillow is a brand. Anyway, you tell people the things that you love. When we find the awesome, we want other people that we really care about to be in on it. We don't want to just, have it ourselves. We want them to have it. Not only do we want people to be in on it, we insist. It's like if you've ever talked to someone who's found a show that's binge-worthy, they don't just want it for you. They insist that you must watch it, right? Have you ever had those conversations where, what? You haven't watched The Crown? Go home right now and watch The Crown. You know, it's like, okay, no. But you insist because it's awesome and you want other people to be in on it. Our staff is still not over the fact that Roger Graber has not watched all of the Star Wars movies. That still bugs us. Yeah, did you hear that? What? That's un-American. How is that even possible? And some of you out there, it's like, I haven't either. Well, you're wrong too. When you find the awesome, you want other people. In fact, you insist other people must be in on it. Restaurants you found, oh, you haven't eaten there? Oh my gosh, you've got to go. Let's go this weekend. We've got to go. I'll take you. I'll pay. You've got to experience this. Or a book. Or chili with cinnamon rolls, which is something I had never heard of before I moved here. Do you know that's not a thing everywhere, all right? But when you tell someone, I've never had chili with cinnamon rolls, it's like, what? Well, then let's go make some chili right now. You've got to be in on this. Runza. I tried Runza. And I got the Runzas. And I'm not going to try the Runzas anymore. This is the one we're videoing. If you go to a conference and you just loved it, you know, like I would go to the Global Leadership Summit and I love it, and I would highly recommend all of you to get involved in that. Even if it's just a great sale at Payless, you know, you go get some shoes, it's amazing. You text it to your friends, you put it on Facebook. When you find the awesome, you want other people to be a part of it. You don't hold back. You're not embarrassed. You're not a little ashamed or afraid. You found the awesome. You want them in on it, but we don't invite people to church. We just don't. We don't. Lifeway Research did some stats on this, and a very good study, and they said that 7 out of 10 people that aren't in church right now have never once in their life been invited to church. 7 out of 10. Isn't that crazy? I didn't believe it. I mean, how could that possibly be? And the reason I don't believe it, and you might think this is because you're a professional Christian, we know we pay you to be a Christian. That's not true. That's not why I think this way. Everywhere I go, I'm thinking, I wonder whether they go to church. I wonder if they might like reality. I have the blessing of going to a church that I work at. You know, I've worked at some churches that I wouldn't attend unless they paid me. Ouch. Yeah. I've worked at some churches that I wouldn't attend unless I got a paycheck. That might sound weird to you, but it's like there's another church in town. It's like, that, gee, if this wasn't my job, I think I'd go over to that church. Every time I get to come to Reality Church, I think, God, thank you so much that you called me to a place, to a people, and to a vision that I would attend for free. That came out wrong. I forget that part. Look into the pen. All right, so the point is this. Look, Jesus invited all of us into a relationship with him. And here's what I want us to do. I want us for the rest of this year, maybe even for the rest of our lives, to think, you know what? I have found something pretty awesome. I'm not going to hold back. 7 out of 10 people who aren't in church right now have never been invited. And yet inviting people to church is one of the most effective forms of outreach. There we go. Inviting people to church is one of the most effective forms of outreach. 82% of people, I know I'm throwing some stats at you, but 82% of people who don't go to church say they would at least maybe be willing to go if somebody would invite them. Think about those two stats. 7 out of 10 have never been invited. 82% say, yeah, I might go if somebody would invite me. That's amazing to me. Most people come to church. In fact, you're in church because somebody invited you. I came to church for the first time at personal invitation. My father invited me to church. It was a pretty forceful invitation, I'll give you that. But I was invited. Somebody brought me. They paid for lunch afterwards. That sort of thing. People come to church at personal invitation, not because of a billboard, not because of an ad in the paper or on TV. Most people try a church out for the first time because somebody said, I found the awesome. I found the awesome, and I want you in on it because I love you, so come and check this out. And they invite them. So in case you're wondering, I want this to be crystal clear. This sermon is about you, not just the general you, but specifically you, inviting someone to church. It's not one of those sermons. Some people say, you know, I think we need our sermons to be a little more deep. You know, they don't say that about me because mine are so deep. But sometimes they say that about other preachers. And what they really mean is, you know what? I want it to be so deep that I really don't understand it. So it's just like, yeah, that's nice God stuff. And then you go home and I'm not responsible for anything. I want it to be, you know, confusing so that I can go on and live my life. Look, this one is going to be really, really clear. There's no ambiguity here. Invite someone to church. Why? Because we are the plan. There's people out there that don't know that God loves them, that God can forgive them, that God has a plan, a place for them. So find your one more. Everybody has taken a picture out in front of that banner. Some of you haven't, but a lot of people have. And I hope that even if you haven't, you'd sit down, have somebody take a picture of you, and while that picture is being taken and put it on social media, pray for that person. You're one more. Who is it? Who's close to me but far from God? Because Jesus invited people to know him like that. He invited people into his life. And we're going to take a look at that. When he was first starting his whole ministry, his strategy from the very beginning was one-on-one, somebody inviting somebody else. And that's what he started it with, and that's what kept on rolling. And you are here today because of that. So let's look at John chapter 1, starting in verse 43. Jesus is just starting his movement. He's just starting his building of the kingdom of God. And he does this. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, come follow me. Philip, and by the way, he was investing in these people. A lot of times when you see the Jesus movies, it's almost like he's got some mystical mind control power where he's just walking along the seashore and he says, Peter, James, follow me. And they go, That's not what happened, okay? He knew Peter and James, Peter and John. And he knew, of course he knew James, but anyway, he knew Peter and John, and they followed him because he had been investing in them. And if you look at all the Gospels, you can see that he knew them. So he found Philip and he said, come follow me. And then Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. So that's mentioned because Andrew and Peter knew Jesus. Philip, knew Jesus, and he had been investing in them. And he says, come and follow me. I mean, you've kind of been in my periphery. You've been kind of orbiting. You've been in the hover position. Come and follow me. And Philip does. And the first thing he does, after Jesus goes and tells him, he goes and tells somebody else. He's got a buddy. He's got a buddy named Nate. And this is what he says. Philip went to look for Nathanael. He thought, this is awesome. Jesus is asking me to come follow him. But it's not as awesome as it could be because Nate's not here. My buddy. It's not, you know what? Today, this morning, is not as awesome as it could be. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome to meet with Jesus. It's awesome to hear from him. But it's not as awesome as it could be. And you know why. Because your one more isn't here. So he goes to look for Nathanael. And he told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. In other words, we found the awesome. We've been waiting for 400 years now. 400 years of silence from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament. We've been waiting for the Messiah, the one to deliver us, the King of Kings, the one who's going to come and make all this stuff right. We found him. Honestly, he's kind of lying because it clearly says that Jesus found Philip. But then again, he says we found him. All right. He went to look for him. We found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. So there you go. Jesus was starting this movement, 400 years of silence, and these people were losing hope. They were actually living in occupied territory. The Romans were in charge. This great people who thought they were going to change the world, they were the chosen people. They had this global idea of who they were, this destined for greatness idea, and they were just one province in the great Roman Empire. So he says, I found him. He's Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. You've got to get in on this. Nate, what do you think? And Nate says, Nazareth? Exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Sounds like Jim Mora, playoffs, right? Playoffs? Talking about playoffs? Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? So I don't know what, you know, what he means by that. It's like, Iowa? What? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Packers? So basically, that's kind of what stops us in our tracks, isn't it? This is the reason why we don't invite people. Because you got to substitute church. What, you want me to come to church? That's where you say the awesome is? Are you kidding me? Most people have an experience or an idea about church, and it's not awesome. I don't know if you know that, but it's true. They don't think church and awesome in the same sentence unless it's church is getting out. That's awesome. You know, they're letting us out of here. Church, you mean that irrelevant, hypocritical, judgmental, confusing, exclusive, decaying relic of superstition? That's where you found the awesome? And that's what keeps us from inviting people. So Philip could have argued with him. He could have said, what did you just say about my awesome church? You know, what did you just say about my awesome Jesus? Yes, he's from Nazareth. Of course he is. And he could have argued with him. No, he does this and he's so smart and he knows people. But you know what he said instead? Instead of arguing him into the kingdom of God, he said, look, come and see for yourself. Come check it out. He didn't argue. He stayed right in there. And he knew Nate well enough. He'd been in on those long conversations with Nathanael beside the fire where they said, man, 400 years. Did anybody think it would take this long? Did anybody think that we wouldn't have our king, that we wouldn't have our priest and prophet, that we wouldn't have the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ? Did anybody think it would take this long, 400 years? When is he coming? Nathanael and Philip had had those conversations. So he said, come check it out. I don't have to argue with you about this. I know you've been longing for God to keep his promise. And every one of you knows, and they might be having a great time in life right now, but eventually life happens to everybody you know, and at those moments, they're more open to thinking about God. There's just times during the year when they're more open to thinking about God. Christmas and Easter and times when they move or times when they have a child, they don't feel prepared or they lose their job. Look, last week we said, who is close to you and far from God? And I want to bring some clarity to that because that person is the person that fills in this blank. Who is your one more? Who is your one more? Well, how do I do it though? I mean, you've convinced me that it's my job. I'm the plan. There is no plan B. But how do I do that? Well, let's divide people that are around you into three categories. Number one, there's the people that you know. These are like friends and family. They get you. The people that you hang out with. These are the people I hang out with. I'm hip like that. I don't know any of them. And But they've seen you when you're not at your best. They really know you. They know when you're being fake. They know when you're trying to pull something over on them. And asking them to come to church with you ought to be as casual as you just asking somebody out for coffee. Hey, you know what? You know me. You know I go to church. You know I've been telling you about it. So why don't you come with me this Sunday? We'll grab lunch afterwards. What do you say? That's a casual invite. I'm making it sound easy. I get it. But this should be as casual as people who know you, especially if you live out your faith in front of them, and this isn't about worlds colliding. Nobody I know knows I go to church. Well, maybe that's a problem. Tell them first, I go to church. And if they're shocked, then maybe that should tell you something about the way you live your life. And we can talk about that later. But look, you know I've been telling you about my church. Why don't we come with me this Sunday, and I'll buy lunch. You might even want to include a little testimony. You know I've been having trouble with my finances. I went to this thing called FPU, Financial Peace University. Got me out of debt. Now I've got margin in my life. You should come check it out. You know, I've been talking about parenting and how we're new parents. We don't really know. We don't have all the blanks filled in. They've got this incredible program called Reality Kids, and they actually partner with us. They give us things to talk about with our kids. It's just like having somebody alongside of us helping us along. And so you should come and check this out. Or, you know, I've identified the awesome. This is really incredible, and I want you to be in on it. I had questions about God, and this was a place where it was really safe to ask questions. In fact, they have a Q&A after the sermon. Come and check it out. So identify the awesome for you, and then invite them in on it. These are the people that you know. Then there's the people that you sort of know. You know, they're around you. They're your coworkers and people that the wait staff at places that you frequent. There are some people at a certain establishment where they sell Christian chicken that know me by name, and they know my order. And the lawn service, the guy that does your landscaping, the UPS man, someone at the daycare, you know, whoever it is. And you might start out a conversation, hey, great job on the yard. I really appreciate everything that you do. I could never do this without you. Hey, I don't know if you're doing anything this Sunday, but I've been attending this church, and you can come and check it out with me sometime. No big deal if you can't. No big deal if you go somewhere else. I don't know. But I was thinking about you, and I think it would be something that you might like. And that's an interesting way to just segue into that. I was thinking of you. No big deal. A casual way of inviting them. And number three is the people you don't know. Somebody you're sitting beside on the bus, right? You're sitting beside them at Starbucks or at Culver's or at the fast food place, or you're in a karaoke contest with them. That happens from time to time. And you say, you know, so I was curious, and I do this a lot. So I was curious, do you go to church or where do you go to church? And if you're looking for a place, if you're looking for a relevant place that kind of speaks to what's going on maybe in your life or in the world and talks about God in a way that you can understand Him, I want to invite you to church on Sunday. And always include and I'll buy the lunch afterwards. Don't let this year pass you by, guys, like last year. Don't let this year pass you by without making an impact on somebody's life. Last service, someone was being baptized, and at the end of their baptism, can you imagine this? They said, I want to thank these people. They made an impact on my life. Can you imagine if that your name was on that list? So who is your one more? Who is your one more? Don't let anything stop you. But you might say, I'm afraid. Yeah, you told me all the ways, but I can't do that. Sorry, I just can't do it. You know what? Yes, what if you're going to be afraid? What if your voice is going to shake? Basically, I love what Christine Kane says about this. She says this. She says, sometimes you just have to do it afraid. It doesn't matter. If you do it, even if your voice is shaking, do it. Maybe you'll be better at it next time. It doesn't even matter. You're communicating that you care about this person more than you care about your own embarrassment or your own awkwardness. I care more. I'm willing to enter into the awkward so that you can find the awesome. So I know that was weird, but there you go. I love you that much. Imagine the day when your one more is over here getting baptized. Imagine the day when they're on the row with you, worshiping God with you. Imagine the day when they are in life group, growing, learning. Imagine the day when their marriage that you know is kind of struggling right now is getting put back together. Who is your one more? All of that stuff is awesome, but it all starts with one thing, an invitation from you. Are you willing to enter into that awkward space so that they can find the awesome that you found in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would. So we always leave open an opportunity to ask some questions, and we'll see what we've got so far. So thanks for engaging so far. Long one. I just want to say that without Katie Miller, I would not be here. I stopped going to church because I didn't understand what they were saying, but reality has made me understand a whole lot. Thank you, Katie Miller. Well, I was not expecting something like that. That's amazing. Kind of helps me out a little bit. Can you imagine your name being in that blank? That's the opportunity this year. That's what it's about. So that's awesome, Katie. I know that you must be. Let's give Katie a hand. I don't know where she's at, but okay. So the next one. How do you explain your faith to someone who wants proof? Well, that's interesting. Because we believe all sorts of things. In fact, you live your life by belief. Did you know that? You get in the car. Have you ever, I don't want to freak you out or anything, but when you're traveling down a two-lane road at 70 miles an hour, do you realize that the only thing that separates you from the other lane is not a wall or even a fence? It's a painted line. And you're hurtling toward another car at 75 or 80 miles an hour if Amy's driving. And everything you do in life requires at some point a degree of faith. Now, the Bible makes it clear that if you are a human being, when you wake up and you look at the sunset, you're seeing something that God put there on purpose to give evidence for his existence. When you think of Mount Everest or the Great White Shark or the Sahara Desert, all of that was put into place so that you and I would have this evidence all around us. Is there proof of God? No. That's what faith is about. There is no proof of God until when you believe in God and you actually move a little bit further from belief to I know because I've experienced him. So what you say to them is, hey, check it out. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to have all your blanks filled in. Check it out. See whether there's anything that's true, because we know that it's God's job, not ours, to argue somebody or convince somebody into who he is. But even though I said all of that, if somebody's genuinely interested whether there was a man named Jesus and whether all the evidence points to that the fact that he was resurrected, man, I am very comfortable having that conversation. So we need to let them ask their questions. Don't try to answer questions that they're not asking, but listen and say, you know what? I'm going to check that out. Because we have facts on our side when it comes to the truth of God's word. We have facts on our side when it comes to, was Jesus a real man? Was he born? Did he live in a certain time period? Was he crucified? Was he resurrected from the dead? One interesting fact that I would say just right off the bat, the church was birthed in the same city that Jesus was crucified in. Explain that without the resurrection. The same city that they buried him in was the city that birthed the church. Guys, something happened 2,000 years ago. So I think we're on very firm ground there, but none of it is proof. There is faith. And faith is how they live their life, whether they know it or not. They believe that their spouse will be faithful. They believe that that car won't cross the line. They believe that every chair that they sit in was made by somebody faithful and not a prankster. They believe that the bank that they deposit their money in, they have no proof of this, is going to keep that money. And when they put a card in a machine, that money is going to transfer from. We live our lives by faith. So to say that I need concrete proof for everything, you would not be able to exist if that's the way you lived your life. So don't let the most important question in the world come down to whether you have concrete proof or not. The most important question in the world is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? So check it out. And that's all. I guess that's kind of a soapbox for me, so I'm sorry about that. Go on. Next one. Why do you think people get so excited over new movies and TV shows but don't get that same excitement when they're invited to church? First of all, I think, or when they're inviting someone to church. So I'll tackle both of those. I think most people have an idea already in their mind when they think of church. When they get invited to church, don't most of the people that you know, have you ever had someone describe church to you and it didn't match up at all with what you think of when you think of church? And that's because they've either got negative experiences in their past, they've been de-churched by somebody who really hurt them, or they've just seen enough movies to know that all pastors are idiots and that all church people are hypocrites, right? And they don't, nobody lives what they believe. We don't have a culture that's on our side, okay? We don't have, popular culture is not going out. You know, some of them are. I'm not trying to paint it us against them. But people have negative stereotypes when they're talking about church or thinking about church. The problem is that when you are asking them to church and you're not that bought in, it's like when you're at the restaurant, you take a drink of something, go, ugh, oh my gosh, taste this. And that's evangelism. You know, it's like, I hate my church, but maybe you come and you might like it. I don't know. So maybe we're afraid that we're going to oversell it. Sometimes I do that with movies. I try to downplay it a little bit. Maybe you do that with church. It's like, I'm going to downplay this. I love it to death, but I don't want you to know how much I love it, because if you come and you don't like it, then that's going to get weird. I don't know. I think it's some of us just kind of the angst that's in every one of us, a little bit of insecurity. But I would say, you know, I found something the other day that I love. It's this restaurant that serves macaroni and cheese and buffalo chicken on top. It's awesome. And I told my good friend Robert, and I said, you've got to get this. And he got it. And then I heard him like an hour later saying, you've got to get to somebody else, you got to get the macaroni and cheese with the buffalo chicken. See, when you really love it, you get other people involved. And so that's what I would do if I were you. It doesn't matter how they feel. People, that sort of enthusiasm and excitement about something is contagious. So that's my advice there. Everyone I want to invite to church already goes to a different church in town. It's not just as awesome as reality. It's stealing from other churches. Stealing from other churches is wrong. Wow, this is clear that we do not write the questions, all right? Yeah, you know, what I would say to that is, first of all, churches, awesomeness of a church is relative, okay? It's relative. This is awesome for you. Every church is not for everybody. And we are on the same team with everybody else in this community. We are cheering them on. I want you to know that. We pray for them. We're cheering them on. And so what our target is, and we're zeroing in on this, people that are not in church, people that are outside the church. Because if you were going to allocate your resources, where would you allocate it? Hell is real. Hell is forever. And people that are outside the church need to know Jesus. I don't have any problem with someone talking up Reality Church, but yes, I would feel so weird about somebody saying, you know, I know you're a part of that, I know you've joined your life with that, but come over here, it's better. That would be weird to me, and so I would just let them, you know, let them discover where God wants them to be and support them in that. We're on the same team, and by the way, we're all going to the same party for forever, and so there's time to celebrate the wins when we get there. My focus would be on somebody that's not in church right now. So you say, everyone I want to invite to church. Well, what I would do is expand the list a little bit. Make your one more somebody else. So I know that's a little bit of a challenge. So next one. My gay friend refuses to even go to Chick-fil-A, his loss. How can I approach church with him if he's so anti-Christian already? Well, first of all, I do mourn the fact that that doesn't go to Chick-fil-A. But what I would do in that case is just surprise. What we like to do as a church is surprise people. I think Jesus did that all the time. Woman caught in adultery, kneeling before Jesus. And what does he say to her? Hey, where are your accusers? He had already gotten rid of her accusers, by the way. And she said, I don't see them. And he, you know what he said to her? This is Jesus, the perfect one. He said, you know what? I'm not going to accuse you. Go and sin no more, by the way. He said, go and sin no more. He was dead serious about sin. We hate sin because it's like cancer. We can hate the sin, and we can hate cancer in somebody and deeply love. Doesn't that make sense? You can really hate the thing that you think is going to destroy them. I told my daughter the other day, if I thought that cup was full of poison and I saw you about to drink it and I didn't knock it out of your hand, I don't love you no matter what else I say. I love me. And so we enter into these awkward situations and we say, I love you. I love you enough to say, you know, come to my church. I know you're anti-Christian, but I'm a Christian. And you see close up that I can be with you, that I can love you, that I can, can do life with you. And you can see up front that there's no judgment coming from me because the judgment comes from God. But you also know that I really hold some strong beliefs. Those two things can interact with each other. And hopefully you surprise them. I have many friends in my life that are homosexual. I have many former students. I've got people in my life. And what I hope to do with the gospel and what I hope to do with my Christianity is to surprise them with the grace and season that grace with a little truth, but overwhelmingly show them love and grace. And I think that's the only way, and I think it's a long process. That's all the time we got for some questions. But if you wanted some questions answered and you didn't, I'm going to be over there. And let me make it clear. One of the things that I think is a danger in a Q&A is that I'm up here and I sit here and act like I've got all the answers. There are people actually in the crowd who could have answered some of those better than me because they've got more experience or they've got a specific scripture. So talk to each other about some of these things too. And when I don't know the answer, believe me, I'm going to say I don't know. But we think it's important in this culture to stop just talking at people and allow them the freedom to interact and to ask questions. So that's something that we're just planning on doing as a culture here at Reality Church. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would find your one more and that you would invest in them. And then when the time is right, look for those cues. I'm new in town, or I just had a kid, or I lost my job, or I'm asking some questions and I'm curious. And follow those cues and give the invite. Not the goulash invite, but the God invite, okay? Invite them to come to church with you. Let's pray.